With just 5 days to go, the pace of the election is really picking up, with the coalition announcing 2 new housing policies. They're geared at people on opposite sides or ends of the spectrum, those wanting to enter the property market for the first time and older Australians looking to downsize and not be penalised for it. Yet both pledges centre around superannuation. I'm joined now by Eliza Owens, who is the head of Residential Research Australia at CoreLogic, and Graham Wolfe, who's the Managing Director of the Housing Industry Association. And welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Patricia. Good morning.
Good morning, Patricia.
Now, Eliza, beginning with you, yesterday the Prime Minister announced a scheme to allow first home buyers to use up to 40% of their super to the cap of $50,000, whatever's higher, towards buying a new home. Is this a good idea?
I mean, it may incentivise first home buyers, but at the end of the day, this is another demand side scheme. It's something that's probably going to push up property prices. Worth noting, the median super balance for younger Australians between 25 and 34 is $25,000, according to the ABS. So you're looking at stimulus of around $10,000 at the median level, which is going to be good news for sellers of real estate. But I think it does just sort of add to fuel house prices. And what's striking to me is that the scheme has no income cap. We don't just have a housing affordability problem in this country. We have a housing equality problem in this country, with lower income earners seeing the fastest decline in home ownership rates. So while I think there's some merit to having super in accessing housing, it's kind of surprising to me that this isn't targeted to lower income households.
Graham, you've been calling for something like this for some time. Why?
Well, there are plenty of young folk out there, singles and couples, young families that just can't get across that deposit gap. They're renting, they're paying $500 and $600 a week for their rentals. They just can't put money in the bank to get the deposit together. So this allows them to, you know, get that deposit together, move out of their rental property. The rental property prices are probably going to cover most of their mortgage, if not all of the mortgage. They just can't get that deposit. And there's plenty of 30-something-year-olds out there that haven't bought a home, that aspire to own a home. In fact, 75% of Australians believe that they should be able to buy a home in Australia, yet a lot of them believe they won't be able to. So this is a big plus for them. And those in their 30s, in their late 30s, for example, a couple would be able to, at the 40%, draw down perhaps $30,000, $35,000. Even if it's only $25,000 times two, that's $50,000 that will go a long way to a deposit.
Eliza, you've heard the sort of argument from Graham there. The policy does aim to help people who may not be able to amass savings for the home deposit, like they just can't quite get there. If that's the case already, are they likely to have enough super to afford to dip into a home deposit?
Yeah, look, I think having any additional funding to help with the cost of the deposit hurdle and the upfront cost of housing is fine. But if you do this en masse, then you're much more likely to be pushing up the price of housing, which is eroding the benefit of dipping into your super. So, I mean, with respect to Graham, I just think it would be better to see a scheme like this that is more targeted, starting small, like the first home loan deposit scheme did.
Graham, during the pandemic, millions of Australians dipped into their super under the early access scheme. A lot of people used it to assist with the financial impacts of COVID. These people are really already behind. Isn't there a risk that this policy will further accelerate growing inequality?
Well, the other feature of the scheme is that when they sell that home, and many will within the first 10 years or perhaps in the first 15 years, when they sell that home, that 40%, up to 40%, plus the proportion increase in the valuation of the property will go back into their superannuation. So they get the, if house prices do increase, they will get the benefit.
Well, the Minister has conceded they will, right?
So if the house prices do increase, they will be able to put more than $40,000 or that same proportionate amount back into their superannuation. So their superannuation won't be disadvantaged at all. And look, I think these arguments are a distraction on the real issue. The real issue here is there are thousands of households out there, young couples, young families, singles, who want to buy their home. They just can't get across the deposit line. And why would we stop them? This is a great example of giving them access to their own money to buy their own home and secure their own financial future.
Well, I don't want to be too cheeky, but I'm going to be, Graham. You are the Managing Director of the Housing Industry Association. If it boosts house prices, that's a good thing for your industry, isn't it?
Well, it applies to existing homes and new homes. I'm a homeowner, so yes, I don't want to see house prices contract.
But it's a good thing for the industry because more profits will be made, right?
Well, our members are builders. They don't make profits out of house prices going up. They actually are out there building the homes for people. And if we can get supply at the same time to meet demand, then house prices should stabilise. But the problem we have is we have a supply problem with new homes in Australia.
That's a really good point, Graham. So let's go to supply, because a lot of the policy offerings we see just don't deal with the supply question. Without dealing adequately with supply, are we really grappling with this problem?
Well, I think the other part of yesterday's announcement on the downsize will go some way to that, allowing people at a younger age, at 55, to be able to downsize. There'll be plenty of people out there that are looking at their kids to saying, this is your chance to get your own home, move out of the home. We can sell our property with four bedrooms and we can move into a smaller, more accommodating property and put money into our superannuation. So they're looking again at both. They're looking at financial security and superannuation and just the security of owning your own home in retirement. So they're both working hand in glove. But you're right, there's plenty of things that the state governments can do. It'd be good if the state governments remove stamp duty for people that are downsizing, because both of those schemes together would mean that we're going to put more properties into the market that are going to be for young families to grow older in, and relieve the older people into a smaller home. And that's where the industry can come in and help build those properties that downsizers need. But we need governments out there, state governments and local councils particularly, to help ease that supply problem.
Eliza, Jane Hume, the Minister for Superannuation, was on RN Breakfast earlier and she conceded this policy, the substantial one that was announced yesterday, would actually increase house prices, but that it would be a short-term bump. How do you see it?
I think there's something in that. If you look at how first-home buyer activity has reacted to government incentives for first-home buyers in the past, there's usually this surge around programs that are temporary, and there's a surge when interest rates are low. So I think if you have a scheme that's ongoing, that does help to minimise the demand shock. And I think the fact that we've had such an above average volume of first home buyers who were incentivised by a combination of low interest rates, first home loan deposit scheme, home builder, the drawdown that some people may have used to put towards housing costs as well from their super during the pandemic, this could also help to mitigate some of the demand shock that comes along with the introduction of this scheme.
Now, going to that other part of the policy that was announced, which I suppose has got a bit less publicity now because the first homeowner part is kind of the big game changer one, as the Prime Minister describes it. But Graham's raised it in the conversation. I want to go to it with you, Eliza, and that is the government extending an existing scheme encouraging older Australians to sell their home and put up to $300,000 of the proceeds in superannuation. Now, the part of that that's new is that the lowering of the age limit to 55. Firstly, is it a good idea? And then I wonder, I mean, when people are having children, the fact that children are living at home for longer, is 55 really when downsizing is likely to happen?
Well, this is a really good question, because I think in theory, I quite like the idea of incentivizing downsizing. And the government has said that this would qualify up to 1.3 million households to be eligible eligible for the scheme. But this scheme has been in place since 2018, and only around 22,000 had utilised it between July 2018 and May of 2021. So there's something there that's not encouraging much of an uptake, whether that's because downsizers actually need that mid to high density housing in their own community to actually have something to downsize into, or it's because there's just not a lot of awareness about the scheme and its advantages. There probably needs to be a bit on the supply side to boost its uptake in the first place.
Yeah, it is interesting in terms of the uptake of the existing scheme, Graham. What's your take on what's going on here?
Well, there'll be plenty of people out there that would be interested in downsizing and being able to make a pretty heavy contribution to their superannuation. But Eliza's right, there isn't a lot of stock out there for them to downsize into. And that goes to the supply issue again. If we can get more duplexes, dual occupancies, smaller properties with a backyard, with a little garden in it that doesn't have four bedrooms and three car parks, then there'd be a lot more people doing it, I believe. So it's incumbent upon the state governments and the local councils to allow more of these properties, the sort of properties that, you know, as people approach retirement and enter retirement, would be more comfortable in, and they don't have to get the lawnmower out quite as often.
Yeah.
I think just to add to that as well, Patricia, this is something that it was handed down in the Affordability Inquiry report around actually incentivising councils and state government to be more coordinated in the provision of housing supply. And it's not really something we've seen proposed by either of the major parties through this election campaign.
Just finally and briefly, on the conversation around the financial cliff some homeowners are facing when their low rate fixed term runs out and their mortgage rolls on to a high rate, obviously we are now entering an era where interest rates are going to normalise again. They've been at record low levels. This is going to have an impact on some people. What's your view, Eliza, on how this will affect people?
I think we're coming into a new era where the affordability challenge will start to shift from the deposit hurdle to interest costs. So even if prices come down substantially, higher interest rates mean that your mortgage repayments could actually be more on that weekly, monthly basis. So if you are looking at buying a home, it might be worthwhile just sitting down and doing some of the calculations around your deposit versus what interest rates are looking like, rather than necessarily just waiting for house prices to fall to get into the market.
What's your take on that, Graham?
Yeah, it's an important question, and I don't want to dismiss it outright, but I think what is more important at this point in time is employment, that people who have jobs keep their jobs and people who are looking for a job find their jobs, and a low employment rate will certainly help that question. Sure, interest rates will increase over the next little while, but the stress testing that banks have put in place due to the APRA conditions mean that interest rates or the cash rate has to go up to, you know, north of 2.5%. Before we start to bite into that stress testing that banks have done. So provided that the interest rates or the cash rate doesn't go up to 3 and 4%, which isn't likely to happen in the near future, and provided people maintain their employment, which they will in this environment, then I think, yeah, there'll be some tightening of belts, but they'll be safe.
Thank you to both of you. A really interesting conversation. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia.
Eliza Owens is the head of Residential Research Australia at CoreLogic, and Graham Wolfe is the managing director of the Housing Industry Association.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.